Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you're doing at Freedom Church. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing me and us to be a part of that. And I just pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us as we endeavor to be men and women of truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I could not read this until Mandy left. She sent, we had this family group, right, on Facebook, and she is changing Everett's stinking diaper last night. And you just got to listen to this, man, because, and she says, "This is so gross, Everett." You ever been there? Yeah. And Rowan, now Rowan says, "Come on, girl. Get in there and get your hands dirty." That's a 3-year-old. Just dive in, Mom. Here's the next one. Ready? I mean, it's life's fun when you're around kids, and I love laughing at this, and I think it'll be good. Mandy is trying to remove the Band-Aid from his toe. All right? Rowan says, "Whoa! Whoa! Whoa! Remove it so gently so it doesn't hurt my brain." I don't know how a 3-year-old makes the connection from the toe to the brain, but he did. Amen. So I'm going to try to preach today so it kind of makes you think, so your brain may hurt. Because this ain't a Band-Aid today, okay? It's where we're living. It's where we're living. Can I tell you, we have an amazing responsibility right now where we live. I believe with all my heart that God has set the stage for something supernatural to happen in this generation. I just believe that. Because as people are turning away, 25% of 18 and 25-year-old, 25-year-olds and under, 18 to 20% say they're atheist. Twenty-five percent of the unchurched now say they're atheists. Here's the amazing thing about 25% of those in both of those categories, if you ask them to come to church, they would come to church. We got to do a better job of asking people to come to church. Amen? I think the harvest is plentiful, and we're afraid. Here, the 25 and younger, they are more interested in spiritual things than ever before, but yet they say there's no God. So they're not afraid about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're not afraid of spiritual things. They're not afraid of spiritual things. And we need to stop thinking they are. I don't know if we should be doing that in worship. Listen, they do a lot of weird stuff out there in the world. I read an article the other day of a guy who had, I think it was 300 body piercings, tattoos, and augmentations from silicone. It was the saddest thing you've ever seen in your life. Listen, they're not afraid. And you and I need to stop being afraid of expressing our life with God. Amen? And part of that is being a person of truth. Loving the truth. Being a person of truth. Like I said last week about the law of gravity. You can jump off a building and have more freedom than you've ever felt in your life. You can have the wind and the excitement and the adventure that you've never had in your life. But listen to me, The law of gravity will not fail. And you will meet the truth of the law of gravity. And all of that, and that's the trick of the enemy when it comes to sin. Yeah, you can just, oh, be free. Go out there. Go out there. Can I tell you the wages of sin is death? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, the problem with us is, you know, immediate results have an action, but it's those things that take a long time to reap that we kind of are not too sure if that's really the case or not. Did God really mean what he said or whatever? Can I tell you, when God says, thou shalt not, it is for your good? Huh? It is for your benefit? Yeah. Here's the deal. We talked a little bit about the Garden of Eden and how Satan tempted Eve, and it's amazing how he did that, because he does, and he works the same way with us. Did God really say? You see, the word Satan, or the scriptural word in the New Testament, is diablos. You've probably heard that term before, diablo. And it means to separate from. Slanderous, to be a slanderer, accuser, to separate from. Think about that for a moment. So in the beginning, the enemy was trying to separate Adam and Eve from God. And listen to me, when you separate yourself from God, the next thing that happens is you separate from one another. It always happens that way. So when Adam and Eve, think about this, when Adam and Eve fell, and God is walking in the cool of that, they're hiding themselves from God. But before they hid from God, they were hiding from one another. Sow me some fig leaves, please. Before that, they were naked and felt no shame. Now they're hiding from one another. When you separate yourself from God, you will always hide from one another. Yeah. And that's what was going on. Listen, John 8:44. You are the father. You are of your father, the devil. I'll get it right in a minute. And you want to do the desires your father. And that is, they want to murder Jesus. That's what they're talking about. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Where does he not stand? In the truth. That means, here's the deal. If we are going to be God's children, that means we do opposite of what the devil does. That means you and I are called to what? Stand in the truth. He isn't going to stand in the truth, but we are called to stand in the truth. Then he says, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his own nature. One translation says he speaks his native language. For he's a liar and a father of lies. Now, let me just ask you a question. Anybody ever here in here ever told a lie? Huh? Now, the question is, why did you tell that lie? There's several reasons we tell lies. One of them, and this probably is the primary reason, sociologists would tell us, we tell lies for self-preservation. We want people to think we're not what we really are. Hey, did you, for me, it is this. Hey, did you pray for my brother-in-law? What was his name again? Well, yeah. Lord bless their brother-in-law. You laugh because that's what we do. And it's a holy lie. It's about self-preservation. We do that all the time. Checks in the mail. How many times you heard that? How many times you said it? Be careful. I mean, that's what's going on. But he's the father of lies. This is what it says. This is what it says in Romans 1:25. Listen. And they turned the truth of God. One word, one translation says, they exchanged the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served creature rather than creator, who is blessed forever. So this is how the enemy works. He wants you to exchange the truth for a lie. For a lie. And we can make all kinds of ideas and things, but this is how he does. Now, if I wanted you to exchange the truth for a lie, how would I get you to do that? Because, you know, in reality, it's not so much what you do in the first step. It's the goal of the lie that the enemy has in mind. See, he knows he's condemned, and he wants you to be joining in his condemnation. I mean, in his judgment, in his hell. And if he can get you to just exchange the truth of God for a lie, how does he get you to do that? Huh? One slice at a time. One slice at a time. I had a picture. There it is. One slice at a time. See, I'm on a diet. Man, oh man. I don't know, that's got chocolate in it, baby. That's got to be legal. Amen? That has got to be very legal. If he can just get you to move one slice at a time. One slice at a time. And before long, you've exchanged the truth of where you should have been to what you become. It kind of goes like this. All one look won't hurt you on that. I know they call it pornography, but it's just one look. One slice. People often ask me, what's it take to be an alcoholic? One drink, a slice at a time. You see, what the enemy wants you to do is to trade what God created you to be and what God created you to do, the good works that he has destined, pre or foreordained for you to do, in for the lie. And if he can get you to do that one slice at a time, oh, we're going to get married anyway. One slice at a time. One hit won't hurt. One slice at a time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, listen to what it says. And we do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Instead, we expose them. You see, when you and I kind of just get comfortable with things that we ought make us feel uncomfortable. I'll never forget the first bar I ever walked into. I was with my girlfriend's father, not Linda's, but somebody else. My girlfriend's father, and I got in a truck with him, and he took me to this bar because he was basically an alcoholic. And I just... I was out of place. I was a fish out of water. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm so thankful I was a fish out of water. Amen? I'm thankful I wasn't comfortable in darkness. In Jeremiah 13:25, Jeremiah says this at the end of that verse, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Trust the lie. Trust the lie. I was reading this article this past week. It's very interesting. This guy says, you know, I feel like God's called me to go into there and witness and do this and that and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, after all, Jesus did that kind of stuff. And guy's response was, well, listen, when you start walking on water and feeding 5,000 and opening blinded eyes, you can do what Jesus did. Listen to this. GQ put out a list of 21 books they considered nonsense. Overrated books is what they said. And here is the quote that they put about the Bible. It's broken. Oh, here's what they say. The Holy Bible is rated very highly by people who supposedly live by it. How many of you rate the Bible pretty high? You rate it very high. Who supposedly, you feel that slap in the face right there? Who supposedly live by it, but who in actuality have not read it. Those who have read it know there are some good parts, but overall it is certainly not the finest thing that man has ever produced. It is repetitive, self-contradictory, sententious, which means morally critical. How dare the Bible be critical of your sin and my sin? I was made this way, kind of, you know. Foolish, and even at times ill-intentioned. That's what they say. Well, someone might say, Pastor Larry, that's just a fashion, no big deal. Listen, they're watching you to come up with that. They're watching the church to come up with that. So that means we haven't done a very good job of reading the Bible. That's why in your bulletin today, you will see a scriptural outline for the whole week that you can read every day. And if you'll do that every day for all year, you'll read the Bible in a year. All right? I want to give you the tools so you can't be that. All right? Who believe the Bible has never read it. Prove them wrong. All right? And the next thing he says here is, it's very interesting. Did you hear the Bible is rated very high, but people who supposedly live by it, but who in actuality have not read it? What they're really telling you is this about yourself. You're lying. Here, we got to live the truth. Because the world is watching. Isn't it amazing that the world knows more about how a Christian should act than we do sometimes? How in the world do they know that? Huh? And sometimes Christians are, oh, I can just do this, I can do this, and all this. I'm going to tell you, the world knows better than some Christians what you ought to be and what you ought to not be doing. And if the world's telling you shouldn't be doing it, think about what you're doing. Yeah. So the bottom line is this. You and I have to be people of truth because we represent Jesus Christ to a world. We are witnesses of him. Amen? And that is so important. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's why it's important that you and I create a high, like what I was talking last week, a merge line. So people, an on-ramp for people to come to the place of truth. Because right now we live in a biblically illiterate society. It used to be you could preach on John 3:16 and give an altar call and people would repent. And now they're wanting to know, what do you mean? I'm not lost. I'm not, what's born? They have no context in relationship to the scripture about what you're talking about. You have to give them the truth in increments so that they can come to the place where they've dismantled the lie of the enemy and reconstructed a pathway of truth that can take them to eternal life. And you and I have to be supernaturally patient, allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work. So sometimes someone says to me, Pastor Larry, you don't ever give an altar call with about getting saved. Listen to me. People need to be saved. But I know we live in an age and a context where people need time to come to the understanding of the truth. And I know what it is to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I trust the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And when God prompts me to give the altar call in relationship to salvation, I'm going to do it. But I want to not do it out of habit. I want to do it out of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Doesn't mean that I don't want people to get saved. It means that I know God is working in people's lives who walk through this door, who need love and acceptance and care. Amen? Yeah. So we have to give people the merge. Give an on-ramp. Biblically illiterate. So people can come with a foundation. Listen, now they're in dark. The Bible is just another book. Listen. You and I have to convince them that the Bible is true. And that's why it's important that you and I be men and women of truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Glory to God. If there's ever been a generation that needs to be set free, it is this one. And you and I will never see that until we become men and women of truth who want the truth above everything else. And sometimes that's very hard. When God tells you no, because some of the things God tells you no to, you like. They're fun. And they may even be innocent. But sometimes God takes you away from that so that he can make you into something, mold your heart into something you need to be. And if you can't give in to when he says no, don't expect a future in his plan to do what he's called you to do. Trust me, eventually he'll bring you back and back and back and back to that place of, I surrender. I give it all up, Lord. I want nothing to do with. I'm ready to walk with you all the way. See, the truth is this. The Bible is special. You realize there are a lot of spiritual books out there. But there's nothing like the Bible. Nothing like the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this. All scripture is inspired, God breathed by God, and is profitable for teaching, reproof, and correction, and for the instruction in righteousness. And I'm just going to say this right now. Listen, I love to worship. But worship is not the word of God. And there are some worship songs that are contrary to scripture. Some worship songs want to glorify us, what we've been through, what we've done, and where we're going. And there's a great deal of need sometimes for testimonial songs. Listen, that's why it's important. Listen, the Word of God trumps worship songs. You're not going to build your life around the worship songs. The Word of God trumps what Pastor Larry says. I'm very serious about that. It's your responsibility to know the Word of God. Don't manufacture something or an idea in your own head and your own heart. If what you're doing isn't founded in the scriptural mandate of the Word of God, then stop. You have no business to it, doing it. You know, well, Paul said, to the Jew, I became a Jew. And to the Gentile, I became a Gentile. Well, if you want to push that to limits, then all of us should become alcoholics to reach the alcoholics. No, the Bible says we are to rightly divide the word of truth. Don't come up some pre-manufactured idea that appeases your flesh, manufacturing your own idol. No, the word of God is a double-edged sword. I'm going to tell you, when you sit before the word of God, it does something inside of your heart. It exposes your deceitfulness, your lying, your ugly. So that what? The redemption of Jesus can be applied to your life and you can walk free. The Word of God is, do you realize that of all the books and spiritual books, it's the Bible that claims to be inspired by God? No other book does. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, he puts it this way. But first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Man, I had it all figured out. And then I read the Word. For no prophecy at any time was produced by the will of man, but holy men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Hallelujah for the word of the Lord. In Romans 15:4, listen to what it says. For whatever was previously written was written for our instruction. Hallelujah. And sometimes Christians can make this error. I only read the words in red. I'm just going to tell you. Here's what we know about the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it's words in red. It's all inspired by God. And this is what Jesus says about his word. Not one jot, not one tittle. What does that mean, Pastor Larry? It means one period, one question mark, one exclamation part is not going to be fulfilled. And if you and I want our lives blessed, we better line it up with the word of the Lord. Be men and women of truth, even when the truth is uncomfortable. Even when we have to tell our friends, nah, I'm not going to go with you today. Why? Because being a person of truth is more important than anything else. Yeah. The Bible and the gospel is the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can I say this? I'm going to say this. Make your priority the word of God. Not what's happening on the political scene. Not what's happening in the newspaper. Not what's happening where all the people hang out. Because you want to be culturally relevant. God never called us to do that. We can never trade the truth for being relevant. Because what you want, what the enemy wants, is a slice of the pie. You just step right here. It won't hurt you. If you just step right here, it won't hurt you. You just say, yeah, I tell you what. You know, that secretary, she's so nice to you. She does some amazing stuff for you. It won't hurt one thing for you to take her to lunch. Just once. Just a slice of the pie. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that. In the back of your head, oh, I enjoyed that better than times with my wife. Now I'm going to lunch again. Because what's the enemy want? A slice of the pie. A slice of the pie. A slice of the pie. Now you can trade that scenario in a million different subjects. Our calling is to be men and women of truth. And we have to walk in that truth. You might offend her if you don't go to lunch with her. She's going to be offended. Do you hear me? I read the other day, I just want you to know, in Massachusetts, they made it illegal for kindergartners to have best friends. Because, you know, when you choose a best friend, that excludes everybody else and everybody else feels bad. So we no longer can have best friends. Let me tell you something. When a society rejects truth, they go headlong into idiocy. You and I are called to be men in truth. And if there's ever a time the world needs stabilizers, it is now. And you and I are that. Listen, I got a few more things. Just give me 2 minutes, okay? You don't care if I take an hour, do you? Three of you said that. It's a good thing we're not voting. Listen, truth thrives in the light. I'm going to read this. John 3:21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that it may be revealed that his deeds have been done in God. Truth thrives in the light. You know when you're doing things you don't need to be? It's dark. And you know what? When you're doing things, nobody, you ain't going to tell anybody because you're going to keep it a secret. Here's a new rule for parents. I think you ought to lock the cell phone up at 9 p.m. every night. Because when they start sticking it under their pillow at night, something's wrong. Man, don't you love me, youth? Oh, the truth thrives in the light. The next thing, true worship arises from the truth. Jesus said it. John 4:23, yet the hour is coming and is now is here when true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such worshipers. Truth sanctifies. In John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Can I tell you another thing that does? Truth makes you ready to serve God. That's what it says. Read it. Make them ready. John 17:17. Make them ready for your service through your truth. Your teaching is truth. I have sent them into the world just as you have sent me into the world. For their sake, I am making myself ready to serve so that they can be ready for their service of the truth. I don't know about you, but this is what I found to be true. When I fell in love with Jesus, I wanted to serve. I wanted to serve. Two things that happen when a person gets close to God. When a man that's married gets close to God, he wants to love his wife like never before. The closer I get to God, the closer I stay to God, the more I want to love my wife. Truth sets you free to love, to serve, to be God's instrument.